Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters. And Chris, would you have thought a while ago when we started this podcast that we would now have 100 Twitter followers?
Absolutely not. I've never had 100 of anything. So I wouldn't have thought when I was born.
Last marathon you ran, wasn't that like 100 miles?
See, not even quite. No, but it did take over 100 minutes, but I'm grasping at straws there, Greg. So.
100 calories or something.
There we go.
Well, we are, in fact, at 100, which is, for me, a really big accomplishment. It takes a lot of dedication and work to get to that point. We really appreciate you following us on Twitter and Facebook and listening to the podcast. I mean,
that's, yay!
They say most podcasts only last less than a year, so I think we're one of the non-corporate few that have made it past that. EZR, when you came on board, you completed us.
Aww.
Totally agree. I mean, there's a secret sauce in here. Romantic. And I think Craig has grown the Twitter followers. I have filled space and provide a third voice. But ECR, you bring the expertise.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been bottling it up for so long. All these comments I've had.
You just needed a podcast to unleash it on.
Yeah, I was looking for my podcast mate. Podcast mates.
Here we are on episode 2. Still have no idea who the guys are. Although, I think it's Blake's to lose, wouldn't you say?
I agree with ECR. I'll be curious to hear your thoughts, but that was my feeling out of this episode, Craig. You kind of took the words out of my mouth.
Dang. Well, he did get the second first impression date thing. The first date.
Wait, what?
That means... he got, this is convoluted, but me and Chris last time kind of wink agree that the first date is the second first impression rose.
Would you guys have a podcast without me or something?
I think we said it and I could tell that it didn't go, yeah, that you were kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But we kind of agreed like, exactly, let's call it that from now
on. You give
on.
Me 100 minutes into a podcast and I start to waver.
Well, week one, especially. I mean, that was an intolerable episode.
Right. But well, this one was slightly less intolerable. It wasn't great. There was more things to think about than the standard episode. I was really intrigued by the throwing of the picture frame. And we also have some new surprises for our Bachelor Masters listeners. Is that right, EZR? We have some sound effects now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we have a... something to remind us, because sometimes when we personally paraphrase, I think I enter in with my own conjecture a lot of the time, like, this is really what happened.
Right.
And people will tell me all the time, no, it didn't, even in real life situations.
So, now
so
we
finally
can go
we have some
directly
truth.
To the source.
Yeah.
So if I say, hey, Chris, when he said ingenuity, and Chris goes, no. Actually, he said ingenuity. You can just say, hey, play.
Roll the clip.
Two.
Yeah.
So hit it.
It's like
that was
NPR.
Up there. That was a tee up.
Okay.
That was it.
Here we go.
Swing the golf club. What's going on?
Clearly able to see some side of you.
Yeah.
Thanks. The naked side. But... I hope that she's able to see the ingenuine side as well.
It's called ingenuity, is what it's called.
Okay, see what we did there?
You know, if it were too seamless, people would be suspicious. The corporate overlords had taken over. So I think that was the perfect tee and follow through.
Thanks, EZR, for figuring out how to do that. It's not easy to
super cool
record all this and have outside inputs and stuff.
All gigantic corporations that we use to podcast do not get mad at us because we figured it out, let's say.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not easy for a reason.
Well, actually, the reason from what I know from having to record this podcast, the reason they don't want you to be able to record things like Skype easily is because of wiretapping laws. We have this overly expansive set of laws around recording phone calls because of like the FBI and organized crime and racketeering back in the day.
What?
But it hasn't caught up at all to the internet age.
You watch a Dateline, all they have is one of those cheapy $30 like tape recorders next to a computer.
I know.
Yeah, and like you know, and you're like, it must be that easy.
There's all these laws, but you need a warrant.
Yeah, I know it must be super complicated with the internet because those laws differ by state, right? Which true, is why you'll have true. People yeah. set up wiretaps in some states or try and get criminals to confess to something in some states. But also, quick tangent, Google Duplex, which is this new Google Assistant thing, is supposed to be in kind of hot legal water. It basically simulates a robot very realistically as a human making calls for you because of these laws that you have to record. The AI has to briefly record things
right.
to function as an AI so they don't know the legality. But yes, it's too bad it's difficult with Skype because... Right. Hey.
It's exactly why it's difficult. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. So the fact that we were able to say, hey, play that clip, and the clip got played is actually pretty amazing.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Was that another tee up? Tee it up, EZR.
The same thing?
Hit it.
Hey, let's go for it.
I hope that she's able to like see the ingenuine side as well.
It's called ingenuity is what it's called.
I wanted to make sure we played the real thing. I wanted to make sure we played only that part so we don't get sick of hearing it because
it
comes
through like
I we'll come back to it later. It seems like such a fake fight. Not really, but no one thinks that's a real word. I don't believe that.
Well, I don't care if it's too obvious to love that clip. I don't know if that was the moment of the episode for everyone, but that really is the moment of the episode. I don't get tired of hearing that. There's a lot of going on, even if it's acting. There's a lot going on.
Well, oh, if it's acting, it's great acting. I'll agree.
It's a perfectly cromulent word. I don't know if you guys are like choppy or just getting recorded choppy. Everything is choppy for me when you play the clip. Is it choppy for you, Chris, when EZR plays the clip?
I don't think so. I guess on the lead time, both playbacks, I've thought that maybe there's something, but I couldn't tell if that's because we were briefly talking over it or if it was the clip.
Yeah.
But basically, I can hear it.
EZR has to rewind the tape, which takes some mm-hmm. time, right?
I have to put it in the little car.
Like the real,
and
real.
Push it down.
Oh, right. The actual
VHS. The little Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is part analog, part, like, we're really mixing media here.
So for our younger
forever to set bachelor up. Masters to set up.
Listeners, back in the day when you had VHS tapes, you would get penalized heavily if you returned the tape to Blockbuster without it being rewound. But rewinding a tape was taxing on your VCR player. So they sold separate rewinder-only kits. So it was a machine that only rewound tapes. And for some reason, they always came packaged in like a sports car. So you'd open up the Ferrari.
Because they went really fast.
Right. You put this thing.
It was like an implication that they went fast.
So at Christmas, when your aunt doesn't know what to get you, she'd spend $30 on this stupid tape rewinder thing. That would save you maybe $10 in non-rewinding fee penalties over the course of your lifetime.
Yeah.
And this was all so we could collect our, get our VHS tapes, get our CDs, all this kind of stuff now that you can just get without any of that. It's great. We live in a brave new world. And this brave new world includes these men dressed up like the Men in Black, running with balls and chains and jumping into what looked like barrels of cold water. All in the name of love.
Yeah, because that's the cold feet segment of testing the relationship.
Oh, you know, I didn't catch that.
Super clever. Yeah.
Oh.
Very clever names, but I wanted to see that clip right now because they said Lincoln came in at the same time, and now I'm looking at it, and it looks like, yes.
An official sponsor, Hulu.
Yes, we are playing it on Hulu.
Yeah, they're all up on Lincoln's ass for arriving late and leaving early out of the water bin. I mean, this was a huge threat.
Well, that's the way it's edited. That's the way it looks like it happened to me.
I mean,
I don't know if it was manipulated.
Industry standard Olympic timekeeping pieces here next to each water bin, right? These plastic.
That's another thing is that you can see his is.
I mean, who knows where they repurpose these stupid hourglass things from?
Yeah. It felt like Bachelor at Double Dare, which was, you know, American Gladiator Double Dare thing, which was really clever names, I thought, right? There was Cold Feet, Ball and Chain. I don't know what the Crisco one is, but they're very cleverly named. And then I did think that this guy cheated because of the, Lincoln. I mean, yeah, Lincoln cheated. He got called out on it. He never responded. He never said, no, I didn't, or something. And then you see him kind of messing with the timer.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's one of those things. I don't think I would care if someone, even if he did, I don't know if he did, but if he cheated in a stupid game, but his reaction afterward is really what's is annoying.
And you cheat. I mean, you cheat with a bunch of very competitive guys. I can imagine that. That's like what something else is like to other people. You know, like whatever you most care about, getting cheated on that. That's what it feels like, I'm sure, to a bunch of, football players, basketball players, venture capitalists. Yeah,
used to winning.
Well, right. I'm sure venture capitalists don't care, but
right. Yeah.
As a viewer, this is the kind of task, though, that it's like the more you care, the worse you look to me.
Right.
I don't know if you guys agree with that, but that's where it's like Bachelor Winter Games. One of the only good things I thought I observed out of that was like you can see how people like carry themselves and things like this is a stupid game. If there's someone who looks like they're having a fun time, that means more to me than you really want to win.
Says the marathon runner. That's crazy, Chris. Like,
yeah, but well, I like to think, I mean, in this, I can't completely tell every task, but there's a number of points where you get to, like eating the cake. You might be eating the wrong cake. There's a lot of points where luck factors in, and it very seems like this is a fun kind of task that's meant to be goofy. It's got punny names and stuff, so it's like Lincoln cares so much. I don't know.
Right.
Well, yeah. He says some things that he's like, he says things like, you bring out the best in me. And if you want to talk about choppy, Craig, watch that kiss. We'll watch this kiss again that they have. It is really bad.
Something advice I've always bestowed on people that have asked me is that if you want to be cool, the key to being cool is never looking like you're in a hurry. And it's very difficult when you're doing these obstacle course-y kind of stuff. It's difficult to not be in a hurry when you're having to slide down a slippy slide into a cake and, win Becca's affection. So while I don't think I would be a good candidate for something like The Bachelor, partly because of that, and for all the reasons that our listeners have piled up over the years of listening to us, this is just yet another reason I don't think it would be good. Because once the gun fired, I'd just be like, where's the bar?
Yeah.
I'll come in second through last and then just go to the bar now.
Right. I agree, Craig, that hurrying is not cool. And there is something in a contest like the ball and chain and relationship one that I'm trying to think of an example of someone who's done it in the past. And the one on the top of my mind, at least, is like Dean. But I can't remember if that was during the season that he showed that or if it was later in Winter Games again. But it turns out he was not a very athletic guy.
Right.
But he always came across pretty well. And so I think that's the lesson. If I wanted to kind of game doing well in one of these things, my strategy wouldn't be to gun it out front and try and win.
You'd be more tactical.
Yeah.
It would be exert energy when you need to exert energy.
Yeah, and it would be to be kind of flirty or be like in the fun spirit of the game rather than like pushing people out of the way and shaking my timer and all of that.
So I think that one of the things here's a kiss.
Yeah.
Everybody watch. One of the things that's so strange about what you're saying, Craig, is that as I've gotten older, I think people who try are really cool. So like I really look for that now. Anyone who tries, I'm like that person, good for them. But that's just me. But you know, we've talked about this before, but Becca refers to herself as a nerd or like a dorky person or something like that. And I think that is kind of code for people who, like, if you are trying, if you are really into things like that, then that's kind of a dorky thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like the things in high school that made you a nerd. Because that is the problem with particularly junior high, is that any show of any emotion towards anything is going to label you a geek or nerd for you know, all time. It's only the most people who are the absolute not in a hurry to do absolutely anything in middle school. The ones that are able to come out of eighth grade without being a nerd or a geek.
Yeah.
If, you know, so if you show any emotion towards anything, like, oh, I like Star Trek, or I like romance novels, or I like math, or I like spelling bees, it's like, oh, you're a spelling bee nerd.
I think it makes you vulnerable, especially at that age, because people, if there's something that you move affirmatively toward, that's something that's a weakness as well, no matter what it is, depending on if people want to target you.
Yeah.
So I hear that. And I think, as usual, I think here's my role of kind of splitting the difference, because I think I agree with elements of what you're both saying. When what Craig was saying, I guess I wasn't interpreting completely as you don't try, because that's, I think I understand what you're saying, ECR, though, that there are people who would say to be cool is to never try. But there is a kind of, because there is, and I'm thinking of linking particular here, there's a way of trying that is a stupid form of trying. And I think that that's, you know, there's thoughtless trying. Like, effort without any thought, to me, is just as aggravating as someone who doesn't try at anything.
Right.
And yeah. That's where I think that there are people who are trying, like, actually, to look cool and not be in a hurry can require a lot more effort, depending on who you are. You know, there's, like, a not lazy version of doing that.
Right.
So that's where I kind of split. I think it takes, for me, a little more nuance to kind of know the person and know their thought process. It's sort of like the thought process behind it, and not just the apparent effort or lack of effort.
Absolutely.
And Lincoln Fowles.
So how does this, yeah, how does this relate to the show that we're all here for? I think Lincoln, the problem here is that Lincoln exerts all this energy, wins the race, and then his synapses keep firing all throughout the night, where he just doesn't let it go. It's just constantly bugging everyone around this picture. It's a classic case of not being cool. You can't just settle down and let go of what happened, whether or not it was a good thing or a bad thing. The cool people in the room are like, dude. In fact, the one guy said, dude. He said, dude, stop. And he still didn't stop.
I hope Lincoln lasts a little bit longer, because my thought was, it's like he's having... Now, I don't mean this necessarily in the medical sense. I wouldn't know exactly, but kind of a manic episode that he keeps that. Yeah, exactly. It's a very high intensity energy about something where no one has agreed the stakes are that high, but he's imposing these really high stakes. And that's what makes it seem ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
that's brilliant.
Who knows? Yeah, if that bites him in the butt. But I thought on the... Connor is the other person who gets kind of involved in this drama, and he kind of finds a nice exit using your kind of cool tactics, Craig, where it's like he shows he's not in a hurry. He doesn't care. Becca sees that. And I think he kind of wins that fight, in my opinion.
Is Connor the guy that threw the picture frame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
This is why this is so interesting, because I would never do something in a room full of guys I didn't know that was really brash, you know? But I'm a girl, so I wouldn't do it in a room full of girls. But you guys are telling me a perspective that's definitely something I wouldn't have taken into consideration, because I'm not in a room. I'm not a guy in a room full of guys. So it's a really, you know, I had a totally different, like, is he being competitive, or is he just like, is Connor being competitive, or is he being jealous? I thought it was more competitive.
Yeah, to be clear, I don't mean Connor won when he threw the picture in that moment, because I think he realized he had to go into damage control.
Right.
But I just mean in the way that you see they both made a mistake, but Connor sort of comes up with like a cute little out at the end where he's like, you know what? I'm not going to take this seriously. I'm going to show Becca. And she has her throw the picture of him. And I thought that's exactly the way he shows that he cares the least about this. And I think he's off the hook after this episode for that incident.
And Lincoln, meanwhile, double downs on this whole situation. He's like crying in front of her.
So this is so weird. Okay. You guys see it like that. So, you know, it happened last episode too. This is how I saw the Connor. It happens a little bit later, right? It happens at the cocktail party when Connor comes up to her and says, here's a picture of me. Throw my jerk picture out. But he doesn't react well to it originally, you know, the night of. And then he has to come back a few days later and be like, Becca, sorry I did that. Do this cute thing. And I really felt like that there was a chance for redemption. And this is kind of a PSA to guys about girls. Girls will give you a chance. And whenever that happens on TV, I'm always kind of looking for it. And she does it. She goes up to Connor and she says, I can't believe you did that. And that's when he's supposed to be like, hey, man, I'm here for you, and really prove it. And that's what happened last episode with Jake, or what was his name? Yeah. She says, yeah, I'll hear you out. And guys rarely take the chance unless they're honestly interested in the girl. They'll normally just defend themselves instead of like, well, say right.
You're talking
for
about
the
weird looking guy that she sent home because he didn't talk to her at enough parties.
Yeah.
He didn't remember that she was even at any parties.
Yeah. Girls will give you this second chance, and that's when you're supposed to declare your love.
Well, that's what makes him cool.
Well, okay. My deeper point here is that we saw the beginning of the episode. It was her on a bike, and they are having a really hard time kind of glamming her up because she's not someone you would traditionally be the bachelorette. And I feel like they're trying to give her the girl next door thing, and guys just aren't that interested. We watched them all change in a room together, and none of them were like, hey, Becca, hey, you know, they were like trying to compete. They're trying to like see who looks best. They're always talking to each other. They're not interested in her at all. Right now is the time where she has all the power, and she's giving it up to the men. And I don't like to put anything in these terms. I think these terms are ridiculous, except in these cases when you have, you know, very unrealistic issues. So she's trying so hard to get them interested in her. But this is the time when she has the most power, because America doesn't know 20 guys. Right. They will eventually know 10, and those 10 have power when they become 10 or 7 right. or 5, you know? So it's really strange that right now she is really like, she's wearing this low-cut outfit. She's trying really hard for the guys to like her. I don't feel like they're liking her. And she's having a complete, like, please like me. And
that's a really interesting read, UZR.
And then when we get down to more, these guys are going to be mini celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be the ones who might not pick her, who might have some kind of meltdown and be the star of the show. And so that's when she's going to be like, now chase me. And that's the wrong time. Now's the time she should be doing that.
Right.
And she's being so, bending over backwards, making sure they are accommodated and like her. And I just don't, it just feels all wrong. And I guess the one reason I really picked this out, because that is totally, I don't mean this romantically, but I do this in my relationships that require power or not, at work or with family. That's totally me. So when I see it happen with someone romantically, I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't give them the power. So,
but I guess, UCR, I don't quite understand, because she has already sent someone home that she didn't mm-hmm. really seem to waver on. Mm-hmm. She seems like she reacts pretty honestly to, say, Colton. We already said Colton and Tia, when she's not really, you know, she didn't immediately give the impression that everything was okay there. So I don't know if I agree necessarily without examples that she's given up that power.
Well, I guess I don't mean in individual situations. I mean in situations that are very like demonstrative. So when she's one-on-one with guys, I don't exactly mean then. I mean more when she's like, she's in a big group of guys. They're all they're all changing, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of that date. And she's saying, hey, guys, I guess I'm going to, you know, she could be a little bit flirtier and have them chase her. But instead, she's pretending to look at them. And then she's pulling them out one by
one.
Isn't
that flirty? That's flirty.
But she's not, she is being flirty, but she's not being, she should want to be chased. I don't mean chased like virgin.
Like,
I mean, like
right.
someone's chasing her. So if you notice on that date, normally aren't people interrupting to get next time over, and instead she's going and grabbing them and like pulling them aside. It just all felt very like no one's interested in her. And if she was playing it smart, she could say, you know what, guys, this is such a strange date for me. I don't know how the Bachelor is supposed to go, but I need people that are interested in me. So if you're interested in me, show me.
I guess I can see the point that maybe the men are, I don't know if anyone's acted really interested in her, but I'm not sure that she could act in a very different way that wouldn't have other problems. You know, if she acts too much too cold or something, on especially on national TV, I could see that just being very I just don't know how she would do it differently.
For a variety of reasons, it could just boil down to looks.
Totally think that's the root of the problem right there. They're just not interested and there's nothing she can do. But at the same time, there must be someone who's interested. And those people aren't really making them. Maybe they're just shy by nature, whatever. I've seen the beginning of so many, especially the first two or three episodes of a lot of Bachelorettes have been them like gaga over her because they're hopeless romantics, maybe whatever. You know, they're stuck in a situation where that's what they're made to like. But it just doesn't seem super sincere in this case.
I know.
And I think, Craig, I think it's hard to say.
So how do we're Bachelor Masters. We try to be very sincere and culturally aware. So with that being prefaced, how do the three of us enter into a conversation about Becca that begins with she's not hot enough to get 20 guys to start gagaing over her and they're starting to waver and do these other things?
Well, I think it could turn out interestingly. I mean, I don't have the history of the show that either of you have. I only have seen, I guess, the last two. This is my third Bachelorette season. But in relationships, I think in life, an observation I'd have is, especially when you're younger, and I guess most people are still skewering in their 20s or early 30s here, that someone who's really attractive, let's say a female to a heterosexual male, can get a really strong response up front. And maybe that's some of the other, quote, hotter bachelorettes that we've seen in the past. But that can put its own strain on a relationship. Whereas if we are taking the premise that Becca is a little more girl next door kind of look, I think she's pretty cool, actually, you know, as a person. She is someone, maybe, you know, Rachel last season I felt was really well put together, almost to the point that she could be intimidating, you know,
intimidating, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think JoJo, personally, I thought she was a kind of a cute girl, but that she just wasn't like a personality type that I think I would click with. I think Becca's the first one that, I guess I still don't know her well enough seeing the show, but I think, like, if I were on a few dates with her, I might not have that instant attraction to her, but there is something like with a slow burn, with like a kind of comfort that, so I just wonder if the nature of the relationships would be different over the course of the season, and maybe that's what we'll see. There's something about, okay, if you don't have the impulse to do that up front, maybe like some of these guys, you can, and I'm not saying we will see this, but you can see more natural relationships because people kind of get to where everyone has to get in a long-term relationship because everyone's that girl next door or boy next door eventually. So that's what I would want to see.
That's so true, Chris, because in the end, she only really has to like one guy. So who cares, right? If 19 other guys don't like her. If she just went for Garrett, she'll hopefully have a better outcome because she's as, and in your words, Craig, I think with Blake, she'd be going up a couple notches.
Mm. Oh, what's the 2-point rule? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, 2 points either way. Yeah, he definitely outclasses her a little bit. Well, so eyes are supposed to be right in the middle of your head vertically, right? So if most people think eyes are higher because of our hair, but in reality, eyes are right in the middle. Both of them, Blake and Becca, their eyes are higher than the 50% line, which gives them that high cheekbone.
Now that we're looking at this date,
You're looking at their eyes being above 50%, right?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of seeing his weird head shape, and I can kind of see that. But he, for a guy, that's a cute thing. For a girl, it's not such a cute thing. But Craig, you, like me, are, I think, a very big environmentalist. And that date really bugged me. Because it's excessive.
Because they took a limo or because they smashed all
because
these...
Because they smashed things.
Well, it all ends up in China getting picked through anyway. I mean,
everything about it bothers me. The fact that people made it. It's not therapeutic. Everyone's supposed to care about the fish in the aquarium.
I know.
Because they had to flash fish. That. But yeah. Everything else about it bothers me way more. Like, it's horrible. They're, like, destroying stuff. And, I mean, I thought because they were walking up, I thought they were going to feed homeless on Skid Row. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a cute
Did you
thing.
Really?
I really did.
On the
I really
thought.
Chris is calling BS on you, ECR.
I honestly did, because I always fast forward the 3 minutes of like what's going to happen this episode, and I never watch it. I sometimes watch it at the end. But I was so annoyed.
I mean,
well, something's got to make her look good.
ECR, I think we're all three people that have insight into production in different ways in LA. And don't you think what they showed on camera here is a fraction of what any production takes and destroys and wastes and donates? So
I know.
I don't know how that bothers. You would have to shut down Hollywood if that bothered
you. Right. Well, what bothers me is playing it, because then people are like, that is there. I've heard people go, it's very therapeutic to, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know people who work in, I forget what they call it when you destroy things. It's not called construction, but it's demolition. Not called deconstruction. Demolition, thank you.
Which they do in Raven's home date, I think, last season.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But it was very, I don't know, it's sad to me. I don't want to see, I don't want people to be like, that looks cool. You know, I want the opposite. I don't know. I get really bothered with things like that.
I'll say that seemed like a really weird segment for, I didn't know that the man who made that song was, I think his name's Lil Jon, but that seemed like a big promotion for like a weird music video for him.
We have to be real careful, because if Twitter is any indication, everyone in the world loves Lil Jon. So,
all right. Hey, you seem like a lovely guy.
We have to pretend.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, yeah. Lil Jon.
I thought he was famous like 10 years ago, not right now.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Not as cool as the Cranberries he's here. Apparently they were on once.
If you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, they don't know who Lil Jon is, just keep in mind that they had the Cranberries on just a couple bands ago.
Yeah. Well, you know what? With their date, just to speak to what we're talking about, I heard more about Common Goals being an attractive force than anything else on a first date.
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, I really like blah. And then the other person says, I like blah. And she says, oh, that's so great. And then, you know, they interview her and she says, oh, that's very attractive. So we're starting to hit that pattern.
Yeah, it's true.
That's always true. But she has a catchphrase, which makes us think that even more, right? Which is not a catchphrase. She didn't invent that saying.
To be honest thing?
No.
Or let's do the damn thing.
They've given up on that. There's no more get the damn thing.
What?
Get the damn thing on this episode?
When I press the button to look at the little icon, says that next to her body.
All right, play clip 3.
What?
Ingenuity?
Oh, I thought you were talking to Siri or something.
I thought maybe we'd have it queued up, but we don't. Because she doesn't say it in the episode. Her catchphrase is, to be honest, which is, if you think about it, a weird phrase, because it means that you're not being honest generally.
It's just like a paragraph finisher.
But yeah, I forget what they call it. Isn't that some part of speech when you're just filling words without? Right. It's like but yeah, it's. I don't think she has any meaning behind it. It's just like to be honest.
I mean, I know what you're saying about the whole environmental thing. Easier. I think what bugged me more is how they always represent LA. Like, they were driving around a few streets to make it look like they were going into bad parts of town. You know, so because and then Chris Harrison's there with the sledgehammer. It's like, oh, we're in a bad part of town. In other cities, like, I don't know, Scranton, Indianapolis, there are bad parts of the town where industry literally got up and left and there's nothing there anymore. It doesn't work that way in LA. As soon as some place goes vacant, it gets bought up and turned into multi-million dollar condos. So that area they were driving through, which I think is South Park, I don't know, just south of the 10, that property values there are not matching what they tried to present to us. And that little game they played where they smash stuff is probably as part of some big art enclave that's moving in. And
I know, I was gonna say, hipsters are probably doing that every weekend down there.
Next, right behind the camera that we didn't see.
Yeah, well, that is a constant point of contention for me too with The Bachelor and Bachelorette. So here they all come to say hi to her, and they're like, what's up, friend? You know, not, I don't know. Just another little example. I'm gonna now pick them out in a horrible... I'm going to be really annoying about it, but I just think it's so frustrating to see her try to show her midriff and try to be, she's just, there's a lot of parts missing there. And here comes the dodgeball game that is...
I like the dodgeball game because Leo, Fred Willard, which they brought him on as an announcer before, was funny. Mm-hmm. The older he gets, the funnier he gets. And Leo, he looked... You know what? I'll say it. He looked kind of attractive this time. And I'm not saying he hasn't in the past, but he really... character. And then he's good.
Yeah, he is like... He's a glistening centaur. Like, I really thought he was so cool. I thought he was cool the first night. That's the first time I saw him. I don't even know what I think about him, you know, sexually or however as a girl. I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking just he's so cool. That would be someone I want to be friends with. He is. And even the way he takes this seriously, right? He takes it now, seriously. He doesn't.
See,
he?
And this is the distinction that I'll make where. From our first, when we're talking about Lincoln earlier, I think here it's like he's getting to show off his professional skill set. It's like he's a stunt person. Leo, so he is right. Very athletic. He doesn't look necessarily when he's in a suit or whatever, like he might be athletic. And I think I love the surprise of like, wow, this guy is good. Yeah, he is trying hard. But it looks kind of effortless. Like he's able to always be the last
one. He's on trampolines, though. That makes it look effortless, like trampolines.
Well, I did tweet this. Vanderpump Rules totally scooped the trampoline thing. They had a whole episode where they did the trampoline dodgeball just last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
Whoa.
I know. So I was like, woohoo. Yeah, all right. The thing is about these shows is that they never get a chance. I'm sure they never get a chance to practice. I mean, who goes to it?
I've been to a Sky Zone.
You pay how much
money? I went to the Sky Zone.
You pay how much money?
I've been to the Sky Zone in Torrance.
How much time do you get into these things? An hour?
No, it depends.
You can be there as long as you want.
Yeah, you can be there as long as you want. It's like Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, well, on the show, they're thrown into this thing. Who really knows who's going to be good and who's going to be not good?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, Leo demonstrates a certain coolness because he's not in a hurry. He's able to kind of get into the groove of this dodgeball thing, which is really about being stoic, waiting for the ball to either come at you or not come at you, and then line up your shot back. But they start with six balls. There's no real...
Tell those kids that. I like dodgeball, and I don't know if there's... I like it because it's an easy sport. You don't really have to train for, but it's fun. You can play at any time.
So how long were you? It's not like you paid your money. How long were you in this thing doing trampoline dodgeball?
Oh, it's exhausting. Oh, ECR. I don't know about you. When I went, I didn't play dodgeball. We just bounced around, and it's so tiring. It doesn't look like it, but you were on there for a while. And we were like drenched in sweat.
I did not see this like setup because the one I went to had like pits you could flip into. Like, I went to gymnastics as a kid, and the same kind of pits, like pits of foam squares that you get to jump into and, like, you know, do jumps into. Uh-huh. And then there's a bunch of different trampolines, and I think there's some other stuff. Like, there's, like, something you can climb up, and then you fall back and up trampoline. But I went for, like, 2 or 3 hours, and yeah. I mean, I was like, this is... There's so many kids, though. That it's impossible. Yeah, you have to go on a Tuesday morning or something.
Yeah,
exactly. You need to play.
I know. Yourself. I've never seen one this empty, so that was fun to see. But see, Leo technically loses here, but obviously he wins because he smiles after he gets hit. He doesn't start going on about his honor being besmirched, and everyone knows he was the best player out there.
He's so cool with his hair down. What a bad idea. That's like
Well, I was thinking about this. As a stunt person in Hollywood, doesn't he kind of need to have his hair long as a job requirement? Because
he can play a girl.
Yeah, exactly. You need. It's a lot easier to make your hair short than to make your hair long.
You can get any look.
These kind of people tend to have long hair, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, he shows his stunt abilities, too. I think I see it. Like, right now I'm looking at him in the pink penny and the shorts and stuff. He's got an athletic build. You have to keep him in good shape for that.
He's the kind of guy who I feel really won't advance, but I really hope he does because he's so cool. But we'll see. I don't know.
What makes him cool?
He's cool to a girl like me who guys look like that when I was in fifth grade and they were in eighth, let's say. So like someone who was the right age in 1993, 94. So I am the wrong demographic. I'm sure Becca's younger than me, but I liked, I don't know, whatever. That kind of guy seems cool to me. I can't.
You know,
I try to think of an example, like a guy that's like that, but to not me, like
the Vayner. Yeah, the thing with Leo is, and I don't think we've gotten quite enough camera time for me to really have a complete beat on his personality. So this might be me projecting, but in Freaks and Geeks, the TV show, Martin Starr was one of the child actors who's gone on to become a star. And he reminds me of the way Martin Starr was described in that show, where he plays, you know, one of the geeks. But one of the things everyone said about him is he's actually a really athletic guy. And he's obviously very kind of dryly funny. That's kind of what I see with Leo, where it's like someone you wouldn't or I wouldn't expect necessarily looking at him. And he has all of these other things behind his personality. And he seems like he could be kind of like sardonic and funny and dry. And
you're saying he's
cool? Are we talking about this?
You're saying
he's cool
because he looks like somebody else on TV who might
be cool? No, it's not. Because he doesn't even really look like him. I'm just, like ECR, it's kind of a vibe I get. It's like this vibe where it's like you look at him at first and it's like this guy might just be this goof. But then he's like a stunt person and he's winning dodgeball and, you know, and when he gives these interviews, he's funny.
I have no idea what you guys are talking
about. You don't think that someone who's a quarter of a generation older than you is cool looking, no matter what the fad was at the time? I'm talking about,
you know,
exclusively 5
young,
years older than you.
You want to know who was a quarter age older than me, who I looked up to? John Stamos.
I knew you were going to say John Stamos.
Who is cool. You put John Stamos up against any man, and
see,
he is cool.
But he is 2/4 or maybe even 3/4 of a generation older than me, and I definitely see him as an uncle, Jesse.
It's also like the way when Bill Murray was in his prime, even now to an extent, but it's like someone who... And I'm not saying this guy, like, now I feel like I'm hyperbolizing. I'm not saying Leo is built, but, you know, in the same way that it's like someone who you wouldn't necessarily look at and think, wow, but then they show some potential and they're funny and they have these other aspects of their personality. That's the small glimmer. Now I feel like I'm overhyping Leo. I just like it.
I see what you're saying.
He's the best. He's so cool.
And he did play it cool. Unlike Lincoln, Leo was able to turn the switch down once they got back to the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is very cool.
Now, he won't last because Becca's not attracted to him, but he's cool.
It's kind of hard to get a read on who she really likes. Although, did Garrett get cut? Who got
no.
cut?
Some guys I didn't recognize.
Oh, people got cut are Ricky and Alex. Alex kind of looks like Connor, weirdly. I like that guy, though. And Ricky was a guy I liked for her initially, that was a bigger African-American guy. I liked him initially for her. He kind of looked like he's kind of balding a little bit. We'll see him at the end.
I don't care. I don't know.
And that's
I'm really
it,
starting
I think.
To rethink my initial statement that there was a lot to think about in this episode. I feel like we've been wandering aimlessly through a sludge of crap interpersonal relationship.
Well, then we get to Jared.
Who's Jared?
Do I have his name wrong?
Colton.
Oh,
what's
you
the super
mean
villain's name?
Jordan. we can talk about Colton really fast, and then Jordan, right? Colton is the guy who dated Tia.
Football player. He plays in the National Football League. Am I not right?
I think he played 1 year, and then the rest of the time he has not played.
Well,
so
still,
maybe that was years ago.
To even show up is a big deal. You got to be big and strong. He just doesn't look all that big and strong. That's all. Just kind of surprising to me. But I think she's got to end up with a guy who's big. She's kind of tall.
Yeah. So we touched on this earlier, but you're saying that Colton is like a serial bachelorette dater. But I kind of want to go over the timeline.
Because he dated Tia.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's...
And they're going to milk this. They're going to make... This is going to be the episode. It's going to be this stupid thing with Tia.
They probably will. But he said that they had like a great weekend.
Right.
That's his words.
You're right. I'm a virgin. We had a great weekend. Those two don't necessarily align unless you're going to Bible camp or something.
Is that what he said? Is he also supposed to be a virgin?
Yeah.
He said it on a diegetic thing he said? Did he say it on the show or is that just social media?
No, he said it. It's coming up. He hasn't said it yet on the show. He said it in a clip.
Right.
Oh, he's digging his own grave. I was going to say, if he hadn't said that and he had a great weekend with Tia, it's too strong to say that they dated. If they hooked up once, then I don't see the issue. Well,
okay, wait a minute. Don't you think that a quote-unquote virgin can do a lot of other things? Because I know lots of people that are like, I used to know a lot of people that were like, I'm a virgin. And what it means is I've done everything but that.
Being a virgin, it's the college-aged equivalent of nerd, not nerd in high school. You get to college, like, are you a virgin? Yeah, I'm a virgin. We could do this and that. And then once you get to be like 25 or 26 or in our case older than that, it's like, who gives a fuck? You know, if you want to fuck, fuck.
They're religious. Fuck, fuck.
Well, I agree with that, but I think that it's more, again, it's not whether he's a virgin or not that matters. And you're right, he could have done a lot of sexual things and say he's a virgin. It's the fact that if his defense after this is to say he's a virgin, i.e., he's trying to convey to her that, look, you don't have to worry about this because
sexually inexperienced because I'm a virgin, right?
That's his intent. So
if he had just
said that beforehand or had nothing to do with this, fine. But it's in the context of like, that's your defense mechanism. You're doing the not cool thing by doubling down into this.
No, baby.
You're caring too much.
Nothing happened. I'm a virgin.
I felt like it had more to do with him. I don't know what's going to happen, but I thought it had to do with him going into the fantasy suite and saying something like, hey, guess not super at like the day of the fantasy suite, but maybe weeks ahead, saying, I got to warn you, if you want to take me to the fantasy suite, these are my conditions.
I thought you were saying it was on an upcoming defense.
I'm not sure.
We're getting completely off track here. He was trying to say he was a virgin to get out of the fact that he spent a weekend with Tia. There's no conditions.
ECR is saying that's not true. ECR is saying she thinks it has to do with something later in the season, which that would be fine with me, but I agree.
I'm tired of virgins.
Between Ashley, I, and Raven. Wasn't Raven Raven down the street because she lost her virginity to Nick or whatever?
She wasn't a virgin. She said she'd never had an orgasm before. I want to make sure we make that clear.
Right.
But let me tell you something about this timeline, though. She said their relationship was in January. In January was the first time that the Ari season aired. So he knew she didn't get picked, which means that at this point, I really thought that they were setting Tia up to be the bachelorette, that there was no other reason for her to be on there because she was Raven's friend. That was the point of her being on there. I don't think her and Ari had a lot going on. They're totally different kinds of people. And so I did think they were setting her up to be the next bachelorette. Then, you know, Becca had to have it because or else America would hate this franchise they're supposed to love. You know, you're not supposed to hate watch this show. You're only supposed to love it and like watch a romantic story when I don't watch it for that. I watch it for all the other stuff. So I think it's important to note that the same way they're setting Tia up to be the bachelorette, maybe Colton wanted to be on the show to win it with paid sponsors. Because who wants to date someone off camera when you can date them on camera and get everything paid for years and years and promote your business?
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I have been, the show has only been on twice. And I've literally been in the room when someone walks in the first minute of the show and they just happen to be cycling through images of all the different guys. And that person saying, ew, those are the guys? I mean, we're talking about the awful lot here. Rejects from the proposal. And I feel like we're at a constitutional crisis of this podcast. Because usually we're arguing these things over people we care about. This is Colton. Gives an F. He's going to be gone in a week or two anyway. And he completely doesn't stand out in any metric whatsoever.
I don't know.
Care why he's on the show.
I don't think I like or dislike these people any more than any other contestants that I've seen after week two. So I wouldn't agree with that. And then secondly, if ECR is right that we're seeing a preview of something that might be close to fantasy suites, Colton could be on for a while. So we might need to care because he might be in it for the long haul. So I don't know if I agree with either.
As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that happened in 2 hours was a picture got thrown into the pool. And even that's suspect, because how did the picture end up in the pool if it first landed on the deck and broke the glass? See, I think the producers and the editors added the glass breaking sound, which is really unfortunate because I love the idea of broken glass being in the pool.
Interesting. But
this whole thing is a sham.
Well, that's a minor thing. The moment is Jordan. Jordan's what we started the show with, and we haven't.
Official sponsor Hulu playback for an hour.
We
and a
could
half.
Do
been no
a
Jordan
nine.
Yet.
What's going well, on? That's what I was going to say. I've been surprised that we've talked about so many other things because I think that one little moment that we have played at the beginning. There's a lot to go through there, and I think it actually makes Jordan a more interesting villain than I had thought before, because he is a mix of this kind of pretension and pompousness, but genuine intelligence, I think, too. And all of that culminates in this moment with that other dude that I don't care about, and it's hilarious.
It is the chicken guy. His name is David. He's a venture capitalist. I just want to say that so that we know who we're talking about.
I'm very articulate with my words, and I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Hey, David, if we could take an IQ test, and I'm certain that I would pass it a little higher than you think a male model would.
I hope that Becca's able to see this side of you.
I hope that she sees that side of me, too. That's why I did it.
She's clearly able to see some side of you.
Yeah. Thanks.
The naked side. But I hope that she's able to see the ingenuine side as well.
It's called ingenuity, is what it's called.
Where did the music come from? That seems awful dramatic for just a normal scene.
That is the music that was in the background, if you can believe it. It actually happens almost all throughout, but we just don't notice it. Because that music's supposed to be our feelings all the time.
Yeah, you don't really notice it until you really pick it out into something like this. Well, okay. All I have left in today's episode is Jordan. So let's just go full on, because I feel like we're wading in a sea of mediocrity, and he is the model of that mediocrity. I mean, he is not. I mean, this is why people make fun of male models, and it's why you have to put male in front of model when referring to a male model. We've all seen, like, gorgeous model people, right? Whether or not you find them partner or sexually or dating attractive is your own opinion. There's a certain look and feel for models because they have to fit a certain thing, just like any skill. Runway models need to be tall to show off the clothes, and print models need to have this and that. He just in no way whatsoever fits into the category of model. And then he takes his shirt off, and he's got these, like, weird butternut squash-looking pectorals. I mean, makes any sense whatsoever. People on
physically
are way too kind. They're like, oh, yeah, he's maybe a 7, and he's kind of cute. No, this guy is awful and horrible, and makes no sense.
Physically, but I do think there is something to the confidence thing that he brings up, which that's what makes him fun, that he has that in overabundance. But he is just articulate enough, he's anatomically correct enough, and he's confident enough. I could see, I feel like I know people like that, having gone to USC film school, you know, where you get a lot of mediocre but very driven people who go pretty far with that mediocrity. He sort of reminded me of like a rich USC kid that's like gonna milk what he has for as long as he can. But
yeah, and I'm not criticizing what he's accomplished. If you can do anything in this life, that's great.
Oh,
make money doing it.
And when he and the venture capitalists are having that little back and forth, it is like them mimicking what witty banter is, and that's what I love, that it's like they almost are getting there, but they're both not quite articulate or quick enough, and also just angry enough that they both mispronounce that word. I love, because that gets at a lot of things that you see in life that just is not as clearly, it's not as clearly exemplified as that, and it's so funny because they both misuse the word. It's like both of them get egg on their face so quickly. Right. It's so good. I love it.
I totally agree with you, especially the fact that they are both men. Like you're saying, they remind me a lot of USC guys. Not like, you know, the ones we didn't like. I'm guessing I'm a USC girl. Chris, a USC guy. I'm not talking about us. But there's guys like that who you know will never touch a person, but they try to do a male fight. And it's so, you know, if you're going to fight like that, you can't, and they can't back it up, with actual fighting. It's so strange. It's a very, like, they're showing their beta male side while trying to be tougher. That guy next to him is so relaxed. Jason, I think his name is, with the Widow's Peak. He's just sitting there drinking his drink. If you saw a real fight, you know, you'd want to get up and be like, whoa, what's going on? Okay, I'm going to walk away. This is very awkward.
Cool. See?
He's calm because he knows nothing's going to come out of these guys. Yes. Nothing's going to, you know, these two guys are not going to go anywhere. And like you said, Chris, I think that's a very good observation that they're kind of like, they're so mad, but they don't know how to express it because they've never been, you know, they've never probably gotten in any kind. They probably don't, you know, play sports or do anything like that to kind of channel their aggression.
Yeah. And, you know, another great line, Jordan at one point has to say, I'm an alpha. And, you know, when someone has to say they're an alpha, they're not an alpha. But
he's an alpha male. Like, no, yeah. Not an alpha male. Sorry. An alpha model, I'm sure. He's an aggressive model, you know.
Yeah, he's aggressive.
But I don't think he's he's taking it like everything he's saying is in the context of a model, right? He says, I will score average than your average male model will on an IQ test. He's very clear about that everything he does is the fact that he's a model kind of trumps everything else. So you should look at it from his point of view.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
I mean, the thing that I think so far, any of the Bachelorette seasons where we get male villains that Jordan sadly falls into this category and doesn't have, is I wish there was one that was more of a social manipulator. That's why I haven't seen a ton of seasons, but Corinne is my favorite because she's a great social manipulator.
Jordan PCR, doesn't have that. Social media, cute social media.
Influence.
We got...
Ready?
Got to rewind the tape. Hit it.
She's in it for the wrong reasons. Social media influencer. She's in it for the wrong reasons.
Alright. Yeah. Soon to be released on iTunes, top 100.
That's Craig.
Craig from the Bachelor Masters.
Right. I mean, definitely.
Hit it again.
Okay. Definitely, I have to go open it because I got scared. So we're gonna have to cut this out. Wrong reasons. Where is it?
We have a lot of work.
She's in it for the wrong reasons. Social media influencer. She's in it for the wrong reasons.
Oh yes.
That vibrato.
That great,
but don't you think Craig, Jordan definitely wants to be a social media influencer?
Yeah,
you know how hard it is to sing social media influencer and not social media influencer. It's very difficult. Yeah. You remember that took a few takes, ECR,
because we had to say, remember, we have to do it the singing way, the British singing way, where you drop a few syllables to make it work.
That was very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I love those. So good. We went over Enjuenity.
Wait, hold on. Uh-huh. Last episode, I think we made a collective great point that Jordan is a model for catalogs where you don't want to distract from the clothing that's being sold. So while he's sharp and symmetrical, he's not, in my opinion, anything above a 5. And then he takes his shirt off and he's got these weird pecs that don't have any cleavage. It's very weird. Like, there's no top part, just the bottom part.
Yeah, he's not buff. He's not attractive in that way. ECR, what do you think of his looks?
Oh, no, I think, he looks like a little boy head stuck on, like, I don't know, his, no, I'm not, you know, he's not interested in Becca, first off, and she doesn't seem to be too interested in him. Him really.
How much do you think he gets paid? Because he's got to make a living. And who's
paying? I looked up his modeling agency. It's a Beverly Hills agency, also New York, but I've never heard of it. It must be one of those things where they talk themselves up as an agency. You know, we are a brand, and he's like, look at me, I'm part of a brand.
I have no problem with that. I mean, all kudos to him if he's able to make a living do it, but how much money can you really make being a not hot male model.
I don't.
Maybe he doesn't. I mean, he wouldn't be freelance. The first contestant that doesn't have to make much money. You know, we've right. had the social media participant, right. so maybe he's wealthy from his family or something. I don't know.
I guess so.
He definitely looks like a wealthy family boy.
He does. He looks very like one of those little pampered dogs, you know, that yeah. gets its fur is very perfect and clean. Well, he probably smells good.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense when you see those movies from like the 90s where what's the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar? Because he's like a rich guy without too much outside influence. He's this, you know, trophy prize that wears white pants and tucked in rose colored shirts.
He looks way more evil than that guy.
Ryan Phillippe?
This guy, Jordan, looks more evil than Ryan Phillippe.
Well, Ryan Phillippe, I think the idea was that he wasn't really evil.
I don't remember the movie, but except the end.
Can we? I really would. I would love nothing more than to launch into a whole analysis of Cruel Intentions with Chris online. But I realize that she's giving out roses right now, and this probably isn't the proper time. Well, I watched enough Southern Charm on Bravo. I mean, he would fit kind of into that scene where you come across. I mean, I don't want to call him a pretty boy because that's not his look. I think you used the word Ken doll. I think that's a good look. But every label we put on him, I feel, is giving him too much credit. He's just a plain dude. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's where
Ken doll has a connotation that's bad, right?
I mean, any villain, if that's your shtick, whether you choose it or not, wears thin eventually. And I do agree that you need the social skills to take it farther than others. And he doesn't have that. So that's why, yeah, it'll wear thin. Because that's all he has, is that he's a dick.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, because
he's funny. He gets a good line.
Past villains, like Chad, he was big and buff. And you wouldn't want to put him on a magazine cover, but he had exuded male sexuality, right?
And he was willing to fight anybody.
Yeah.
And Nick, exactly.
To his credit, you know, good-looking guy. And Juan Pablo, obviously an international soccer star. I mean, they all had...
And a favorite of the show, ECR.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that guy.
But this guy, Jordan, man, there's nothing going on here. So the show lacks any personality. It lacks a alpha bachelorette for reasons we talked about. And it lacks a villain, a good villain. I mean, a villain as Chris has outlined villains that need to be villains. And I'm adding to Chris's deconstruction of what makes a good villain the fact that you got to be attractive to be a good villain.
I think Lincoln's going to be a villain. There goes Alex. Anyways, I like that guy. I'm really bummed.
Oh, he cried. He cried so hard.
Looks like that's how a baby I know cries. He looks so sad. I really like this guy because he cried. But maybe he's just a rejection cry.
Yeah. Your 5 minutes of time with the publicist that you hired before you got on the show said, if you get cut in the first two episodes, cry.
Last year, didn't we get the insight that they will sometimes in these early episodes shoot through the night? So it's like you're drunk. You haven't slept in over a day,
right.
You just got cut and you feel humiliated. I could see someone crying just from pure exhaustion, too. Right. Oh.
Yeah, but his cry is like through his nose and like out his mouth, and that always seems more sincere. It seems like it's deeper. I'm recognizing different kinds of cries, you know, especially from men are very hard to kind of, but the one that hurts, that goes up your throat, that one is, that's what he looks like he's doing, and that's why I really like, I felt that bad for him. That's like, I don't know much about him, but
I felt bad for him too.
Don't you think that the guys are gonna be like, holy crap, Bika?
Oh, I'm sure they're gonna.
Is she there?
Bika has made a bit of a personality for herself in the corporate podcasting realm, so she's not gonna do anything to F it up. And then you have the Tia Colton, what they're gonna milk. And then you got
Kendall was.
She was the one with the twin sister that like wore a halter top and tried to seduce Ari when they visited her house.
Yes.
Yeah. That's her.
Oh my god. Well, this I have to say has been excruciating. Of all the podcasts we've done, I think is the least amount of content we've ever had to get through. I mean, they literally spent 30 minutes on that picture. that got thrown in
the water. Yeah, they did. And Dodgeball.
Yeah, so it's just, oh, God, we got to pick the pace up here. Bring on the proposal.
Hey, I'll take the men fighting also. If there's no romance, at least let's stir the pot and get some flare-ups on the side of the contestants.
That I agree. I want more fights, especially between two guys who will never fight.
I mean, unless something changes, what are we going to do? It's just like, oh, right, Becca is holding on to his arm, and Becca is giving him a kiss, and Becca is saying, in all honesty.
We'll have to get a quick consensus after the show, before we record, if it was a hour and a half podcast, or if it's like, we're going to do 20 to 30 minutes, here's the bullet points we'll talk about.
That's a good idea.
We're going to change the format of our podcast because Becca sucks.
If they don't give us enough content, yeah, possibly.
Yeah, we could fast forward through the parts we don't want.
I love it.
Just like when we didn't talk about that dog show last season that didn't make any sense. Dog
show. Oh, that's funny.
The fact they have to bring back bachelorettes that are more liked. I mean, bachelorettes is fine because they do that every season forever, as far as I can remember. But they've never brought back ex-contestants. And one was, I mean, there was one girl on there that I didn't remember her name. It wasn't CN. It was way before, you know, whoever got, way before Tia got cut. It's bad. It's bad up here.
If ABC struggles with ratings enough, you know they've hit their low when they pull the Marvel and Lucasfilm card, which they can do at any time. That's but that true. Will give them a quick artificial bump in ratings.
You think so? All right, you guys. I'm absolutely done with this episode and can't take another bit.
Are we saying bye? Because we have not said bye to the podcast nation. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we're saying bye now.
Okay.
Sorry. I was trying to fill in some content.
We were saying bye to each other.
No. Bye to the podcast. Over and out.
Goodbye, podcast.
Bye.